Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by sportsshoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Every Sunday we get together with a guest from the distance running world,
giving you an insight into the lives and training of some of the UK's best athletes and coaches.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and all major podcast streaming services.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast, where we post about our past and present guests, host giveaways and much more.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome back, guys. This week, we spoke to Washington State Husky and Irish international, Brian Fay. Brian has a 5K PB of 13:16, and he finished 10th in the senior men's race at the European Cross Country Champs in November.
Yes, hello and welcome back, everybody. Good morning to you. Happy Sunday. What a weekend. Diamond League is back. 9 to 10K PBs. BMC Grand Prix. It absolutely kicked off this weekend. I bet you haven't even caught up with all the action yet. If so, that can probably be on your Sunday to-do list. But look, yeah, Brian Fay on this week. Awesome guest, awesome guy. Came through the Dublin Track Club. Owes a lot to them over the recent years. But obviously now based out in Washington. And one of the biggest things for me in this podcast was the way that he saw his scholarship to an NCAA school like Washington as a professional contract. And, you know, he will put Washington, competing for Washington before any of his individual, you know, goals and aspirations, you know, European champs, world championships, qualifying times. You know, he's already run 13:16 for the 5,000 meters, but is committed to competing for Washington, doing his best at the NCAA. And, you know, I think we even pitched the question to him, you know, would you rather go to the world champs or would you rather win an NCAA title for Washington? And his answer was obviously Washington. So it's cool, you know, as we speak to a lot of people through the NCAA, that's one of the drawbacks. They can't pick and choose their races, but, you know, he's totally bought into the process. And I think you have to do that a little bit. And for me, I think that's the right thing to do. So, look, incredible guest. Enjoy the podcast, as always. And, yeah, something tells me Brian's going to be around for a little while and he's going to be, a you know, big on the European circuit once he's done in the NCAA. So, take care.
Right, first off, Brian, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you on, mate.
Yeah, cheers for having me. Great to be here. Good. It gave me an opportunity to talk a bit of spoof about myself. I'm never going to turn it down. So that'll be a bit of crack hopping on.
100%. Look, you put in some like pretty incredible races over the last probably 6 months or so, including 10th place at Eurocross, 13:16 PB recently over 5K. Do you mind just taking us back to like maybe August time, like pre-season for Cross? Yeah. How did it kind of all start there? Like what was your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, it was funny. So last year, you know how, like, obviously I came into the NCAAs just there into Washington, and, you know, for a lot of these guys, they kind of take their break in June or whatever, and then they take a month off, and then they train from July onwards or so. But I come off, like, a season in Europe, and I raced all the way through to the end of July. I wasn't racing, like, particularly well. I had, like, COVID coming back from that. It was a bit of a struggle here and there, and then ran a few half-decent meets, and then took a break, I think, end of July for a week, and then just got back jogging. And then, yeah, came out here to America, just, like, didn't know what to be expecting. You're kind of so caught up in everything going on at home, the lads at home, and, you know, the running at home, that you're not really, like, focusing on the move to America or anything like that. And I don't know, I guess, I don't know what happened, but came out here, was here maybe 6 days just jogging, and then got a stress reaction in my foot straight away in my third metatarsal. So I was injured straight off the bat, which was not great. Because, you know, when you come out here, like, you obviously being on the bit of the older spectrum, you know, I'm not 18, I was coming out as a 22-year-old, you kind of expect, oh, I have to make an impact on this team. And you kind of want to perform well at cross and at indoors and outdoors. And to come out and get a stress reaction straight off the bat, I was a bit like, oh, this isn't great or anything like that. But, yeah, I took like 3 weeks off in September and just elliptical for 3 weeks. I die by the elliptical whenever I'm injured. I think it's the best thing ever, you know. So I was doing that for 3 weeks, and then I think I'm sure it's the same in the UK. It's like, you know, at home in Ireland, you have one or two cross races and that's it. Like, you know, I was here, there's like a proper cross season that you have to race, and our team had raced in Wisconsin. It was almost like a pre-nationals, and it did not go well at all. Like, the lads, I don't think anyone had a good race or anything like that. And I was back running maybe a week, around maybe 30 miles or something like that. And then jumped up to like 70 miles. And then I was like on the boost. It's like the Alter G, like just doing a lot of my mileage on that. But yeah, I remember Andy, my coach, he just turned me around. He was like, oh, here, do you want to race Pac-12s in 2 weeks' time? And like, I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Like, you know, it's what I'm here to do. You know, you sign that national letter of intent to come over here, and you're like, oh, I just got to roll with the punches here. You know, whatever they expect out of me, I just got to go with it. So yeah, I kind of got back and just raced. I was at altitude. It was like 1,000 meters up. I was not that fit at all. And I was just like, this is just going to hurt. I don't think there was any expectation of me at all. I don't think, like, Andy recruited me off like a 13:39 time trial. Like, I wasn't spectacular. And then I subsequently ran 8:29 for the steeple and like sub four in the summer. But yeah, I just ran hard, came ninth, was breathing out my hole the whole way around. It was, if you were watching it, you'd be laughing. Like, my jaw was swinging, my eyes were rolling. But yeah, bit of crack. And then from there on out, I just kind of had momentum pretty much every single race leading into, like, it was like, raced that 2 weeks later, raced regionals, and ran all right, came sixth. 2 weeks later, I came into the NCAA cross. And the way my training was going, it wasn't really like I was I didn't really peak for NCAAs. It's like everyone else, like, they're peaking, and like, I'm just trying to get through the fixtures, get a little bit fit from race to race. You know, I'm not really stressing about like anything. And you know, it's not a race, the NCAA is not a race that you don't want to, that you want to be doing that. Like, you want to be peaking for that because like the standard is just so good there. And yeah, just got my doors blown off there, but subsequently got selected for Eurocross back home in Ireland. And I don't think Andy was too keen on me doing it because like I hadn't done that much training or anything like that. But it just gave me enough of a gap. It was like 3 weeks between NCAAs and Eurocross for me to come home and race. I got like 2 good weeks of training, and then yeah, just hit the race really well. And like, that was probably like, the atmosphere was just unbelievable there. Like as an Irish person racing at home in I was probably the most local person at the whole meet. Like, you know, I live maybe 3 or 4 miles away.
Really?
So like, yeah, and then there's like 9,000 people there, and they're all Irish. And like, the way the race pans out, it's like everyone gives a little cheer for Jakob up the top, and then, you know, there's a string of lads back, and then everyone's just screaming for you. But it's like the whole way around, all you hear is just noise everywhere. There's like a back straight that was like maybe like 600 meters that like it was just dead. So because like there's no, it's like through a fire, you can't hear anything, you're working up a hill, and you just come back out and you just get this wall of noise. And then like I started off kind of, it's not like NCAAs, it's like everyone just runs hard from the off. Like, I think the first 400 was like 58 in NCAAs, and then like 201 or 202, and you're just like, it's just like survival of the fittest type of vibe. As like Eurocross Olympic, like I thought it was gonna go out so hard, and then I went there hard, and I'm at the top, and I'm like, oh, this is not hard at all. It's a little bit more of a like a gauged effort, like a proper 10K effort, like, you know, rather than just running as hard as you can and blowing up and just seeing who can hang on. But yeah, I was kind of just raced it kind of perfectly, sat back at like maybe 25th, 30th, and just like every time you come around to a straight at people screaming for you, you can't help yourself but just pick off another person. And just kept on picking off another person, then came onto the last lap, and then yeah, just ran hard. And I think it was Mayo, I think, from Spain was coming down the home straight. And yeah, just managed to get him on the pit. But it was mad because that was like my biggest performance there. And like, you know, I ran like whatever, 13:44, 8:29. I've never raced and beaten like really good guys. And then all of a sudden you're in a field of really good guys. And you know them from just like raced under 23 Europeans or under 20 Europeans or whatever. And you know their names. And you're like, this is class, like, you know. But yeah, it was a great experience.
No, I totally agree. I mean, on the, you know, the kind of gauged effort as well, did you see lap splits at all? Because I remember at Euros, Jakob was just clipping off like, I want to say it was like a 1500 loop, yeah. Clipping off like 420 or 415 or something. I didn't know if you took that into account at all.
No, I didn't see lap splits at all. Yeah. Like, I was just like, but I think like most of those guys would say they race their national trials and they go and they race Eurocross. Like that was maybe, and like they've never been on that course at all. I was like, that's my fifth time maybe raced on that course. I've come second in national juniors there, second in national seniors there. Like, I've only really ran well there. So I know how to gauge the course. Yeah. And like, I was coming off. Like, I know I didn't do much fitness or much training, but like, I raced a good bit. Like, I was fairly callous to cross-country racing. So it meant I could gauge the effort fairly well when it came down to it. And yeah, again, I'm kind of more like an emotional person when I race. Like, you know, like if people are screaming at me, like I get going and stuff and I respond off that. And like, when you just have so many people screaming at you, you can't help but just run well, you know, it just kind of happens.
But it definitely seems that way. You know, the other night you ran 13:16 for 5K, closed up incredibly quick. Yeah. I mean, are Flow Track still doing their kick of the week or like kick of the year or something? Because that was defo, you know, kick of the year. Yeah. you know, so obviously coming off the back of that Euros, incredible performance, 10th, like you say, you saw people like Mayo, Gressier was in there, you know what they've run. I just wanted to ask you though, why didn't you, like, are you going to steeple this year at all? Actually,
yeah, I might. Yeah, we'll see. Like, this is the issue. It's like the same thing every year. It's like, you know, you go, oh yeah, I'm gonna aim at the steeplechase and stuff, and then you run like a half decent 15 or a half decent 5K, and you're like, oh, maybe I'll do something else, and then you just end up like going at the steeplechase like last minute, and then getting the result that you. Yeah, I plan. I hope to be able to steeple. Yeah, I'm doing drills and stuff, but I think, like, you know, if you look long term about running and stuff, like, yeah, like around a good 5K, hope you run a good 15. But you know, if you want to make like a world, like the on the world stage, like the steeplechase is probably the easiest to kind of like make a world championship or something like that, you know, or like qualify for a world final. So I think, you know, it's not something I'm gonna like just forget about. Like, it's something I'm gonna keep at. And I think, like, for me, like, the Irish standard is only 820, or the Irish national record is 824. I ran 829. So, like, well, of all the like the 5K and the 15 is a touch quicker than the equivalent whatever time. So I think if I can try and like nick a national record there, I'd be buzzing. But yeah, no, it's definitely something I'm not gonna like not do. Like, I'm still gonna stay at it. I hope to race it at some stage this season. We'll kind of see. We're just taking race by race at this.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, like, will you decide that, or, you know, will Andy Powell, your coach, decide that? Because
I'd say it'd be a mix of both. I think, like, it'll come down to really like what would I be best at in the NCAAs, what can I perform best at, and hopefully win a medal or something, you know. So yeah, like I don't know, honestly, I don't know how well I steep at the minute, because I haven't jumped. I've been jumping, but like I haven't raced in like a year. So we'll see how it works out. Maybe jump in a race beforehand and then go from there, either do the 5, the 15 or the steeple. But yeah, we'll see. Well,
you know, and just on, you know, you were talking about that letter of intent, you know, doing the races you're told to do. We get a few people on who've been to America before, and they kind of, that's a drawback about American university, you know, doing races that occasionally you might not be quite fit for, you know, like you're chucked in the deep end at Pac-12, you're super unfit. And, but did you kind of see that as like an opportunity?
Yeah, like, honestly, I am on the completely different side of the spectrum to that. Like, I think like last year when I was running, like I was all right, but like, and I was running with good guys and stuff, but I wasn't good enough to go pro, you know? So the best option for me, I was young enough to be able to run in the NCAAs and like not pro. So, and like, it's a perfect platform to get from where I was at to like the next level, or to go to professional running and stuff. So it was a no brainer to come here to run, you know? But like, coming over here, like, I'm kind of a little bit more callous to like European racing than that, and like racing good meets that like you, and I, like, obviously I want to be a professional and stuff, but you, like, I treat that national letter of intent as a contract, you know? And if you're asked to run a race, you run a race. And like, I'm more like, whatever, but I feel like a lot of lads, that, you know, they don't race if, you know, they're not feeling good or anything like that. It's always like, oh, I got to hit the right race, you know, and building up for X, Y, and Z. But like even all last year, I came off COVID and I raced an outdoor season. I just kept racing, and you just got to roll with the punches, you know, whatever way your cards are dealt, you just got to play them. And I feel like here, it's like, yeah, you know, you're not going to be fit for every single race, but you got to roll with the punches and just do it. And I feel like the sport's about competing. It's going out, like, no one cares if you can run really fast in a track session, you know. You got to go out and put your neck out in the line and compete. And if you're not going to compete, if you feel like, oh, like I'm just trying to build up for one really good race at the end of the month, or one really good race in the season, you know, like, I think it defeats the purpose of what we are, like, you know, competitors. So no, I'm all for competing. I'm all for rolling with the punches, you know. Like, when he said to me, oh, do you want to race back to us? I was like, yeah, 100%. Like, I don't want to be sitting at home not racing. I couldn't be. Like, there's days you're gonna take a beating, like, you know, you gotta park your ego and accept, all right, like, I'm not like in NCAA cross, like, obviously, like, I'm not like that fit, and you're just bodies around you, and you're running as hard as you can, and your jaw's swing, and you're feeling like muck, and you're just like, yeah, I just gotta roll with this, you know. Like, you gotta just, you know, fight for your pride and just get stuck in and just compete. Even if you're competing for 100 place, compete, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's clearly working for you. And like you say, you're doing cross country, you're doing a 5K, you're running the 10, you're running 15, yeah, you're thinking about the steeple. How does that work then with kind of your preparation? Because I know it's the same. Like, a lot of people will think, I'm a 5K guy, I need to train specifically for the 5K. With you, you're proving, and I think a lot of people are kind of coming to realize this, that fitness is fitness regardless of
No, I agree with you. Like, I think, like, last year, the way the world, the season worked, like, I came off European indoors, got COVID, and that was like before vaccination, COVID hit me like a ton of bricks. Was out for like 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks, came back and was like struggling in every session. And then it was like just smashing fitness into me to get fit for the outdoors. But here it's like, I've actually had like a great streak since my stress reaction, my metatarsal, I've had a great string of training, you know, and the training is completely different here than what it was at home. I think Andy does a very good job at, like, you know, he doesn't over push it. Like, I'm not overworking it all the time. Like, he's still very much focused on like build my aerobic capacity a little bit better and better every week, but also he's very good at like sharpening for every meet. It's the difference between like European racing and America. Like in Europe, it's like you might get a call 2 or 3 days before a race and you just gotta go and fly it, race it, you know. Like, it's just the way the world works. It's here, it's like, you know, I know my schedule of meets for like 6 weeks, two months beforehand, you know, so you can prepare a whole lot better for the meets here than you can at home. You just gotta roll with the punches at home. It's here, it's a little bit more like, so, and also like at home, it's like you get into meets, but it's like if you haven't ran, like if your PBs is your PB or your season's best, it's not quick enough, you're not gonna get into the meet. As here, it seems like in America, there's a lot of like, if your coach says to the meet director, oh yeah, he's in good nick, put him in X seed, like the A seed or the B seed heat, you get into the A seed or the B seed heat, you know. So it gives you, there's a little bit more of a, like, I don't know, a better probably environment to run fast here, you know, because it's a little bit more like probably set up better. It's not as ruthless as it is in Europe.
Yeah, no, that's a good point actually, because what was your PB before this season? 13:44.
But like, yeah. So last season I'd steepled in Manchester, ran 8:33, won the race, came back, flew from Manchester to Belfast the next day, and then paced the 5K on the Saturday, ran like 9.5 laps from the front in 65 zeros, 64 highs. You know, so I knew myself last season I could probably have ran 13:30-ish or like just under. But then like by the time it was like I'd raced Manchester, Belfast. The following week was raced in Tatabánya in a steeple. The following week in Nice, trying to like race close to 8:20. Following week in my nationals. And then 3 days later, I'm told, oh yeah, if you want to race in Lucerne in Switzerland in a 5K, it's there for you. I'd after falling in the national steeplechase, and I just booked my flights, flew out. And like, I'm in a race that's Kiplimo wins in 12:55. Like, you know, I got through 4:09 through the first mile, and you're just blowing gas, like, you know. But you just gotta, like, that's the difference. It's like in Europe, it's like there's like you're either in like, you know, small meets or you're in the big meets, and then you're getting your doors blown off, and you just gotta go with the flow. Like, it's here, there's like the depth is so much. Like, I wouldn't say that the top standard is as good as it is in Europe. It's not like the cream of the crop, but like the depth of it is so good that like it's like you can hop into a 13:25 race or a 13:30 race and run well there. You know, like let's say right now, like around 13:16, but if I was in a 12:50 race, I'd get my doors blown off. You know, it wouldn't suit me. And that was the same with Lucerne. I just blew out the back door and went backwards and ran 13:44. And with like COVID, just with like the lack of racing opportunities, I don't think my PBs are probably reflective for like 2 years, you know?
Yeah, right.
And I'm sure an awful lot of lads kind of struggle with that, like getting into, like, it's like you come off, I remember like the year COVID, you're just logging miles in lockdown the whole time.
Right.
And then you come out of that, and then like I remember going to Portugal in January, and I'm training with Andrew, Paul and Sean, and then we come up to France to race in France, and these guys are getting calls going to Leven and, you know, Val de Rue, all these good meets, and you know, no one's calling me because I'm not fast enough on paper, on PB, but even in all the sessions I'm right beside all these lads, you know. But just with the nature of COVID, like the nature of racing not going on, it meant that like you're struggling just to get into meets. As here now, I've come out and like the opportunities are there for me to run well. I'm on a level playing field now, so it's kind of works here.
I mean, I think you're spot on, because it's almost like, I mean, it feels like for us, like fans of sport, we're like, where's this guy come from? Another one just come out of nowhere. Another one out of nowhere, you know?
Yeah, but,
you know, you're spot on. Yeah, COVID, you know, just affected people racing. And like you say, it sounds like even last year you got a little bit unlucky with races. So not just the season where you couldn't race, it was last year when you actually had COVID that kind of affected you a little bit as well.
Yeah. It was more like in the indoors, it was like no one really knew what was happening. And then the indoor season kind of goes on very last minute. So guys are getting into races very last minute, like 2-3 days beforehand. But like, just because like my PB in the 3K was 8:09, you know, indoor. So like no one's going to put me into a good meet or anything like that. My PB was 3:41 for the 15, but you're still not getting, like if you're not under 3:40 or under 7:50, you're not getting into these meets. So like I went to two meets where Andrew paced me in a 3K and I ran 7:53 on my own. And then again, there was a 1500 race, Luke McCann, but our pacemaker went through in like 2:01, you know, and you close hard in a 56 or whatever and ran 3:41. So like I think my performances were always good. I just wasn't really in like top quality races. And then when you get COVID and then the races do open up in the summer, like I was just like, I had no aerobic, like you're my, like when you got, like, I don't know if any of you got COVID before.
Like, I got it, mate. Yeah, I suffered. I can preach. Yeah.
Yeah, not good. Like, hit me. Like, I was, like, I remember my first session back after COVID. I remember, so the week before I got COVID, I ran like 8x K in the track and 2:49 off a minute. And then coming back first, like, maybe 2-3 weeks later, I could not run 4x mile in like 5 minutes. I was hitting lactate on the first mile. I was like, just bollocks, you know. It just knocked me out so much, and I was having like, you know, heart issues as well, like after it, like it wasn't good. And then I just kind of had to, like, I remember after that I just had to put myself into the position to race well outdoors. So we went on camp to Portugal, but like, you're training with like Paul, Rob, Sean, Andrew, they're all flying, you know, and they're all gearing up to try and make an Olympics, and there's me just like at the back wheezing around trying to just get through, like, you know. And then you get into the,
yeah, go on, finish it.
Or you get into the meets and you just got to roll, like, whatever your cards are dealt, like, oh yeah, you might not be fit, you just got to run hard and hope for the best, you know?
But I wanted to ask, like, that's a different dynamic for you. Like you say, wheezing in the back, you're struggling to keep up with guys.
Yeah.
Mentally, you know, what are you going through at that point? How are you dealing with that? Because obviously now you're probably the complete opposite end of the spectrum. You know, I can imagine Washington, you're that top dog running the quick times. So, you know, how, you know, what are you thinking when you're just suffering with those boys, and how would you come through it, you know?
Yeah, I think, like, honestly, I think, like, at home, I think the attitude is probably a bit different than it is here. I feel like at home, or like whenever I go to a race, like the two things I'm definitely going to do is I'm going to be tough, I'm going to run as hard as I can, and I'm going to try and compete. Even if I'm competing for 10th or first, I'm going to compete, you know. I'm going to take as many lads that I can to the sword. So irrelevant of my fitness, irrelevant of my, you know, health or whatever like that, that's what I'm going to do. And like, when you're coming back off that, you just going to have to accept there, look, you got to think positive, you got to be like, here, I'm just going to go with the flow here and just hope for the best, you know, and just go in with that attitude, and whatever happens happens. If you run like a bag of shit, that's, you know, you're, who cares, on to the next, like, you know. Like, I'm never like I don't have a big ego when it comes to race or anything like that, thinking, oh, like, I have to hit like a, like, let's say the 13:16 race, it's not like I'm going anything, I'm the top dog. Like, honestly, that race, the first 3K, I felt terrible. I was getting dropped. Lads were coming around me. I was like, oh my God. Like, we hadn't tapered. We did 8x K on Monday, flew in Thursday, race Friday. I was like, oh my God, why did I do a session on Monday? I was bollocks. And then, you know, you just, a guy moved and I went with him. I was like, I just have to put myself in the position to run fast, even though I feel like shit here, I just got to put myself in this position. And then managed to get latched back on into like the leading group. And then at 6 minute run, still felt feeling like a bag of shit. I was like, well, I don't actually feel that bad. I feel terrible. It's not like, but I know I can close here, you know? And then the move came at 600. I moved there. And then at 400 a run, I moved again. It was at 200 a run. Then I didn't know that your man was leading because I was so far back and realized your man was leading. Then someone's like, you got to get, and like, I'm just, again, very emotionally engaged. You know, someone's shouting to me, like, you got to get him. I'm like, yeah, I'm going. Like, I'm going to try, you know? And then you just get caught in the moment and you get going. But it's like, I think irrespective of your fitness, you know, if you're coming back from COVID, if you're, you know, the top dog or anything like that, you know, you gotta be able to just go in and with that attitude of like, I'm going to compete, you know? Even if I'm going to be competing, like, for second last, I'm competing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Talking of competing then, what are the plans and the goals for this kind of rest this collegiate season? What are the aims for NCAAs?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think I'm racing this 15 next week, and then we kind of get straight into like the Pac-12s and the regionals and the NCAAs. Now, I think, like, for me, the one thing I would say, like, it's all championship racing. So, like, I'm not used to how it is in America where you're just racing championship racing all the time. So I'd be interested to see how that goes. So try and get through those fixtures if I can. I don't know what I'd be doing if I'd be 5K, 15 or steeple, you know, probably aim more towards the higher events. But yeah, race regionals, hope you go to NCAAs and try and compete to, you know, finish as high up as that I can, maybe get a medal or something like that. Be good. And then, like, obviously, you know, I think having run 13:16, you start thinking about the world champs and stuff like that. But like, I think, like, you know, unfortunately the way the NCAA, like, with the, I'm not even going to go into the I'm sure you all know about the world ranking points and stuff and the way meets work. Yeah, and like the way the NCAA is set up, that none of these meets are given good points or anything like that. So even as a 15, 16 person, you're not going to get like good points to be well ranked to go. So you're going to have to run the standard. So maybe look at trying to run a standard. Might be a bit touch and go, but we'll see. Again, like I think I just get through the NCAAs and then roll with the punches from there. Just see what pops up. And then the Europeans, obviously, at the end of August. So that'll be on the cards as well. I'd like to come back and race in Europe. I'm definitely going to keep racing through the summer. I don't like this buzz of lads that just finish after the NCAA, take a month off and then build up for races in November. Like, you know, I'm going to keep racing through to August. So should be good.
Good man. Mate, when is the NCAAs? And is there like a cutoff for world champs for you in Ireland?
Yeah, there is. So obviously, you know, in Ireland, it's a little bit, the population is a little bit smaller. So it's not like you have to, like, usually if you run the standard, you're going, like, you know,
yeah, right.
You show for your nationals, you're going. So, like, yeah. So, like, the deadline, I think, is the 26th of June to run a standard. Okay. So, like, NCAAs is the 11th of June, I think. So it's like, I have maybe 2 weeks to get a race and just hope for the best, you know? But I think, like, I know it sounds like pressurizing to put yourself in that situation, but it's like last year's the same thing, you know, for European Indoor, it's the same thing. It's like, it's just the nature of running, of racing. Like you go in, you have to try and hit a standard. If you hit it, you hit it. If you don't, you don't, you move on, you know.
For sure. So, and the way you talk about racing in terms of just rolling with the punches and going with it, you seem like the sort of person that can kick off that champs and hopefully run that standard. Look, the NCAA's always had kind of crazy depth.
Yeah,
I think this year particularly though, it seems like the 5K anyway, it's just way beyond anything we've ever seen before. How does it feel to be kind of part of that group of athletes? Just everyone's churning them out every week.
Yeah, it's cool. To be honest with you, like before I came over, I did not have an idea about NCAA. Like, you know, the standard's good, you see a few good meets in your Instagram feed or whatever, you're like, oh yeah, that's class. But I didn't actually know the standard coming over, and then you come over and then you realize people are really like, the depth is so good. You know, I think like even the 25th guy to go in NCAA indoors is still under 1330. You know, like it's crazy. And yeah, it is cool to be a part of it and kind of like compete against it. And it's also like I feel like indoors around 1324, and you think like, I think I was right, six, maybe eighth going in, and then it came sixth, and you're like, you know, I think if you're in the past, if you're in the NCAA running 1324, you think you're the big dog, but you don't think like that at all. You're like, man, I need to run 1315, you know. So I think it brings you on a good bit, you know. You start thinking more like competitively, you think, oh, these guys, like everyone around me is running this fast, I need to run this fast. It's also good now because like you see guys that run quick and then you're like, well, I beat them in so-and-so race, or like they're not that far ahead of me on time, I should be able to do that. You know, it gives you a bit of confidence to go on and to race fast. I think it's good, like the any environment that has good athletes that encourages better competition is great. Like, it's where I'm at. So yeah, no, it is class to be a part of it.
Yeah, mate. What do you think about like schools like, you know, NAU? Do you guys talk about that? I want to know what your coach kind of says.
Oh, yeah.
What does Andy say about the depth? Because obviously he would have had he knows what used to be good as well. And he's like, Jesus, you know, how does he coach to keep moving you guys on?
Yeah, I actually don't know. I never really talked to him about it. Like, we don't really talk about other schools. I think he has big respect for the NAU program just because they're running so well and there's some really good runners there and stuff. But yeah, no, I don't know. Like, it's all new to me. So like, I don't know how lads thought like 2 years ago or 3 years ago when the depth wasn't the same, you know? And I don't, like, I've never really talked to Andy about like what he thinks of other schools or anything like that. Honestly, there's so many good guys. You just hop on the line. You don't really worry too much about who's on the line. You just try to go to race and try and run hard and try and beat as many lads as you can, you know?
Man, I think it's a top attitude to have. And look, you said the training was slightly different from back then with the Irish lot, you know. How's it different compared to now?
Right, yeah. So like at home, we do 3 sessions a week. We do like Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And like my mileage was probably a little bit higher as well. You're running like 90, 95 and stuff. And you do whatever Ks or your hard track workout Tuesday, come back to the threshold Thursday, and then hills on a Saturday. So it's a much harder routine to do. It's like, come here, you work out Tuesday and work out Friday, your hard sessions on a Friday, and then like my mileage is a little bit lower, so it means I'm a little bit more recovered for my workouts and stuff, which kind of like it, I think there's plenty of ways to skin a cat, and I think both ways work.
Yep.
But certainly for me getting sharp for rate, and obviously I've come on leaps and bounds, as you said, like I've almost come out of nowhere this training. Obviously I'm responding off really well, so it's working out really well. But I think like the way I'd say with Andy, it's like I've never been overcooked with my training at all. Like, you know, I think he's done a great job at judging aerobically how much I need to do to get a little bit better without like overdoing or anything like that. And then like my track work gets have been very good to sharpen me for like a 5K or a, you know, or a 15, you know, like now I can, like in most of my races, I'm closing like well under 60 seconds. It's like, that probably wasn't always the case last year or 2 years ago. So I feel like, yeah, I think that I've responded really well off the training just to be a little bit more sharper coming into races and that. But again, like maybe like there were so much factors at play last year with COVID and stuff that it's kind of hard to judge the two training systems, you know. I think I've ran well at both systems. Yeah. And just naturally getting older and running more, I think, and,
yeah,
you know, going into different and like, you know, stressing your body out differently will benefit you, you know.
And it sounds like you've almost hit the sweet spot there, because, you know, you were training, if you like, more volume and more intensity. And then it's very rare we get someone on who's been to an American university and they actually say the training's less than what they were. Maybe that's the way to go.
Yeah, maybe it is. Yeah, I think Andy does a very good job at just judging everything very well. You know, I think he's coached so many good guys in the past. And like we write logs every week and we send it on to him. Like he can look back at what, you know, Eric Jenkins or Chez did 5 years ago to the day, you know. So like he knows exactly what you need to do to run faster. He knows what shape you're in. I remember it was like, I did a 5x mile set or 4x mile session maybe a week before NCAA indoors. He's like, I reckon you can run 13:15 right now. And I didn't have a great run at NCAA indoors around 13:28 and came sixth. And I was at the back door for most of it, managed to close hard and go from like 11th to sixth in the last lap, which was grand, but it just wasn't my race. And then coming to the outdoors, you know, 3 weeks later around 13:16. So like he knows his stuff, like, you know, he knows what shape you're in, he knows what you need to do to get into, you know, so-and-so Nick and stuff. And like based off your splits and stuff, he's like, oh, you can compare back to different lads and stuff to be like, oh yeah, you're in so-and-so, you're gonna race whatever, you're gonna run whatever. So it's kind of comforting to know that, and it's kind of cool as well, like. So
yeah, like you mentioned it at the start a little bit, but can we rewind and kind of show how you actually went out to Washington in the first place? Like, what was your recruiting like? Because obviously you're a little bit older.
This is funny. So it was like it was more honestly like it made sense in terms of like I was at home, I was in a good setup at home, I love being at home. Like, I think a lot of people come to America thinking that the grass always greener, but I was kind of like, it was something that I was never like, I was not good when I was like 18, you know. I was focused on other aspects of my life. I wasn't really too concerned about running and that. And then just the way things worked out, I got a little bit better. And then, you know, it was something that I never had the opportunity. So I was like, you know, it'd be cool to kind of come over here for a year. And I trained a good bit with, you know, some of the Australian lads and Nick Bideau, and his daughter Sophie is here, and Sonia's daughter Sophie's here. So like it just made, I remember just looking at the States, seeing Washington, it was kind of similar setup to Ireland, where it was like same temperature, same climate, you know, same political spectrum, I guess, you know, wasn't. So I was like, oh, you know, this is a good setup. And like, obviously Andy's phenomenal coach, phenomenal program, phenomenal school. So I was like, oh, like this would be a great place to go. I think it was more like an emotional decision to be like, I'd love to just try that out for a year, just to get, like, you're in Ireland, it's locked down, it's kind of bleak, you're living at home, you're like, oh, I need to get out of here, you know, I need to get out of the country. So, you know, yeah, it was kind of more of an emotional decision. But it was funny because the two schools I looked at was Wisconsin and Washington. Wisconsin, Mick Barron, the head coach, grew up like 600 meters up the road from where I'm from, and like have a huge amount of respect for him and what he's done there, and like love his program as well. And yeah, got into both of them, and both of them, like Mick was more than happy to have me in, and as was Andy. But again, I think it was just more an emotional decision, just be like, oh yeah, I'll go with Washington. But it was funny because Washington, like, I got on to Andy maybe in August before my last year of college, and he didn't get back to me like till October maybe. And I think he was like, he never said to me, but I think he showed you recruiting some other fella and he dropped out, and then he got on to me, he saw me, and like I think he recruited me off a 13:39 time trial. And then, you know, it was funny because my decision to go, like in my own family setup, like there's not much runners or anything like that. My parents, you know, living at home, probably have a good influence on me. And like, they're very kind of like academic, like you go to college, you get your degree, you go work, and, you know, you don't worry about running or anything like that, you know? So I think when I was turning around saying that I was going to go run in the States, they weren't too keen on me. And they were like, yeah, well, we're not helping you or anything like that. If you go over, you're on your own. I remember being on the call with Andy, like my first call, and he's like, you know, you got to work out like scholarship, you got to work out all this stuff. And he's like, oh, so like, are you willing to pay and all this? I was like, man, I have no money. I'm absolutely screwed if I can't afford it. But it was just kind of funny, like how things worked out. And then like, I think he chatted to a few guys, like my coach, and he chatted to Nick. He was like, oh yeah, he's a good lad. You know, you should recruit him. And then the recruiting process kind of went through. I got a little bit better and then got recruited in. But again, I wasn't really focused on like going to the States. I was so like, you're so caught up in your own little routine at home with the lads and the DTC, you're not really like worried about it. It was only in August when you're just about to go over, like, oh God, I have to go over to the States here. Like, this is going to be a bit. But I remember getting anxious about it because it's like you're going with, like, I know I'm only gone a year, but you kind of feel like you're leaving your whole life behind, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, geez, this is a bit, this is a bit daunting, like, you know? And then you go over and like I'm sure being in Flagstaff, you know, America's just a tad bit different to what it is at home, you know? People are just wired a little bit differently over here. And it's all like, it's all good crack. They're all good lads and stuff, but it's a bit different. And like, just getting that adjustment. And in Seattle and Washington, there's not many Irish at all. Like on the East Coast, there is. And,
yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, you know, people have a lot of time for Irishes over here. Like, I started talking and people are looking at me like I'm an alien. They're like, what is that accent? I can't understand them for my life, you know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. But yeah, honestly, like, life over here is great. You know, it's a great setup. I'm in a lovely house with a couple of good lads, and the weather is similar to Ireland, but like right now it's sunny, has been for last week, and it's meant to be really good for the summer. So you're like a little bit better than Ireland in that sense. So it's all right.
Yeah, mate. Do you think it's good for, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but Irish people to kind of, you know, get out of Ireland, someone like yourself, get out, train somewhere else, race somewhere else? Because like you said, you can get a little bit wrapped up, you know, in your own bubble. And
yeah, I think, yeah, for sure. I think there is, I don't think I was like that myself, but I do think there is this small pond, big fish syndrome at home. You know, like, where you're in a small country, you think you're the dog's bollocks, and then you go to Europe and get your doors blown off in an under 23s or an under 20s, and you realize the standards are all that different. I do think, yeah, it is good. I think, like, for any athlete that's between the age of 18 to 22, they should be in the system. I think at home, like in Ireland, there isn't the same supports. Like, you're not getting funded or anything like that to race or to run. And like, as I said, like with my parents' attitude, it's kind of the attitude, I don't know what it's like in the UK, but kind of in Ireland, it's like, you know, you're running, but like, you're kind of, you always feel in your head, you're putting off your career, you're putting off something to go run, you know? As like out here, you come into such a cocooned environment. It's so structured, it's so pampered. Like, you're a student athlete where you're focusing on your academics and your athletics, and it's very much a balance. But it's also, you don't have to worry about that of like going working or anything like that. It's just such a enclosed environment. There's so much safety nets to it as well. So it's like, if you want, and I feel like that's probably helped me a lot coming out here. It's like, now I am on that level playing field with an awful lot of these guys, and I am running well. You know, I'm not at home where you're worrying about your nutrition, you're worrying about booking into a physio and you can't get into a physio, you're worrying about getting into a gym, how's it work? And it's all off your own bat. You know, you go to a European meet, you go to, like, if you're going to Flagstaff from the UK, you're the one that's paying for it, you're the one that's doing everything. I was like, here, I hop on a plane, I fly down to LA, I don't have to worry about a thing. Steph, our director of ops, does it all. You know, she's a great woman. But, you know, I don't have to worry about a thing. And it removes all these mini stresses. And you're just in an environment that focuses completely on running and training and performing, which is great. So it makes sense. Like, it's, and also, like, just with the stat again, going back to the racing, like, you're either in top meets or you're not at home in Europe, you know. And, like, it's so much more ruthless racing as over here. It's a little bit more like it's deeper, the depths there, so it means you can get into like the perfect race for you to run fast, which is great, you know. So like, if for me, I wasn't good enough to go pro last year, so this was the perfect environment for me to come into, you know. Perfect setup, the NCAAs. So
I mean, how long have you got left? Have you just got 1 year? Is that what you've got?
I have another year as well next year, so I'm going to do a master's. So
that's good, man. No, because I was going to say, you know, if you've only got 1 year, was it always the aim to just go to Washington and just hope that you're good enough to turn pro by the time you leave?
Yeah, honestly, I don't even think I was thinking that long term. In my head, I was only coming for a year. I don't think, if I said I was coming for 2 years, I wouldn't have come, you know. I think, you know, especially going into a different environment and having, like, I am from Dublin. It's my home. Like, I'm born and bred at Dub. So it's like, you know, moving away is a bit daunting, and you don't, like, to think that you're going away for 2 years or even longer, it's a bit like stressful and stuff. So I think in my head, I had to come over here thinking I was only going to stay for a year, and then everything's worked out. And I love, like, I have a great community of friends here, you know, great program, great, you know, system. It's a good life. So I'm like, yeah, I'll stay another year, you know, and I'm kind of content with that. And obviously, like, obviously just the training is going really well for me. So why wouldn't I stay here another year? So I kind of like worked there. I think like, obviously it's probably the same in the UK, like the way the universities work, like we don't really race, you know, universities at home. So it means you kind of have this extra eligibility to kind of work off coming over here for 2 years. It's funny though, because I get dogs abuse on the team of it being so old the whole time, you know.
I was gonna say,
like my granddad, you know, which is, it's good cry. I don't mind it, like, you know. I like these guys, they've been living in the structure since they're 18, you know. I'm only coming in new, but it's just a bit of a laugh, you know. I don't mind it.
For sure. Have you thought about what it is you want to do kind of post-collegiate career? Obviously, you like mentioned you want to go back to Ireland and stuff. Would it just be a Dublin track club, or would you consider
I don't know. I think it's like you just got to roll with the punches and see, cross that bridge when it comes. Like, I think, like, you know, if you look at it from, you know, going pro, like, you're like these shoe companies, they don't really care like how good you are. It's just about, like, if you can, you know, how marketable you are, I guess, you know, and, like, the US market is where it's at. So, like, there might only be an option to go pro here or not go pro at all at home, you know, or there might not be anything on the cards at all, you know. So, like, I think I just have to roll the punches and see, like, am I might stay here, might go home, whatever like options arise, I just have to consider them all. In my head though, like the lads that I train with at home, I kind of consider my brothers, you know, like they're good blokes, and you know, I'd like to go back into that group or have some involvement at some levels, you know. And I don't think I could live in the States like permanently for the rest of my life, so even though, like, it's a great spot now, but you know, just, you know, Ireland's more my cup of tea, so we'll probably head back at some stage.
Give us some context.
I don't know, just, you know, I don't want to be saying anything too bad, you know, if you're American.
We have a UK audience. Now, I can kind of second it. It is, you know, I just got back from Flagstaff, and it was a good feeling when I started hearing some British accents again. And just...
Oh, yeah. You miss the Irish, and like, there's no Irish over here, so like, you get on the phone and stuff and you just start talking. And it's great because I'm terrified that I lose my accent. Like, the moment I lose my accent, I'm going straight home. Fuck that, I'm hanging around. Can't be sounding like an American.
No.
But it's just a different world out here, you know. Like, it's not anything, man. It's not like you're going to Dubai from Ireland or anything like that, but it's just these subtle differences. And then it's like subtle differences in communication, subtle differences in like just living in a gaff in a house. And obviously, like, at home, we use an awful lot more slang than here. And, like, you know, maybe on the East Coast, they might understand me a little bit better. But over here, sometimes people are looking at you like, Jesus, what's this guy saying, you know? Humor is probably a little bit more dry at home, you know, a little bit more touch and go than here. Mm-hmm. Gotta be careful what you say. Don't be cancelled. Don't want to be deported or anything like that. So, but it's good crack. It's just different design. Like, I think I'm just a bit wired a little bit more differently. And, you know, you miss your mates and stuff.
Oh, do you reckon you could have gone as an 18-year-old? Or do you reckon it would?
No, I would have been absolutely no. I think if I came as an 18-year-old, I would have broke down. Like, I think, when I left school, I was running like 40 miles a week. You know, I ran 4 minutes for a 15. I wasn't like particularly amazing. And then I came in and Phelan Kelly coached me in Dublin Track Club, and like he did a phenomenal job to get me from pretty much a schoolboy to the level I was at, and pretty much now, you know, like he really. And like put me in an environment where I kind of like gradually progressed into training with pros and like racing good meets and stuff. And like that shift in your mentality is like, it's not something that just happens overnight. Like, you know, so he did a great job, like mentally and physically, to kind of put me into that position. You know, I kind of own pretty much everything, to be fair to him. But like when I was 18, like I kind of bumped up to 60 mile, but he did a great job to kind of just, you know, nurture me into and keep me kind of going, you know. And I think as well, like as an 18-year-old, I really didn't want it. Like I wasn't thinking like States. I made my decision to go to college based off like what I wanted to do in the future, you know, and like wasn't about running or anything like that. And then just as like life went on, I got a little bit more serious about it, and then it kind of opened up. But I think if I came out to the States as an 18-year-old, I would have just broken down injured straight off the bat. I don't think I would have mentally, I don't think I would have been just like outside of running, like you got to think about like emotionally, I don't think I would have been able to just leave Dublin, leave my home and go and live in a different culture. You know, I don't think that I was mature enough for that, to be honest. So I think I did it perfectly the way I've worked it, like to do my undergrad at home and then come back out here and have a year or two to kind of go at it in the NCAAs.
Yeah, it's an interesting, mate, just like obviously you transitioned into kind of that professional environment with the Dublin Track Club. What did that entail? You know, was it doing less of a session but keeping up? Was it just doing the same session?
It was hanging out? Yeah, so the way it kind of came about was like, so I was one of the kind of first athletes that Fatim started coaching, and it was kind of just out of our local club, Raheny, in Dublin that he started doing it. And then subsequently, we started linking in with Paul Robinson, who was a 335 guy, 145 guy, really good guy, you know, and, you know, a few other characters started coming in. And then Paul would always be ahead of me or doing different sessions, or I might just be pacing them in a few reps here and there, you know, I wouldn't be doing anything major. And then, like, again, it was more like there was kind of a good group of lads that were all kind of my age, like Darfing, Gary Campbell, Joey Lyons. They were all kind of similar stat. We were all kind of like 345 guys when we were 19, you know, so we could all train really well. And then at the end of that year, Sean Tobin came in, coming back from the States, and he was like, we were like, oh, Sean, you know, he's a good runner, like, you know. So when he came in, and then it kind of gets a little bit more serious, and then Andrew Coskren comes in. Andrew was a bit of a chancer and a punter at the time, but, you know, you come into that environment, and naturally the environment just becomes a little bit more like professional, a little bit more like finely tuned, sharper and stuff. And then Paul starts thinking in it more heavily. And then we went over and linked in with the Melbourne Track Club, which was eye-opening for me. Like, because you go from, like, as an 18-year-old, I was like, you still kind of have that schoolboy mentality of kind of talking more like, as I was saying, that small or big fish, small pond syndrome, where you think you're good in Ireland. And then you go and you get your doors blown off by these boys, and you're like, oh my God, I'm so far off being good here, you know? So that was eye-opening. I think that kind of brought my mindset on, my mentality, and I think the mentality of our group at home on as well. And then naturally, just like as the years have gone on, you know, guys are just getting better performances, and then you kind of come into a bit more of a pro group, which is kind of cool. It's really cool to kind of be a part of, because we've literally started from rose from the ashes, I guess. You know you've come from nothing to something, which is nice. And like, it's like, I think all the lads at home, they're all like honest guys, you know, like there's no big funding or fancy programs or anything. Everyone just shows up and gets the work done, you know, they're putting an honest day's work, you know. So it's kind of nice, like it's nice that was the attitude, and then we've all kind of succeeded off it as well. So
I can vouch for that, mate. Saw him in Flagstaff a few times. Incredible group. Coach is amazing. I won't even try and pronounce his name, but he's a great guy.
They're all a good lad. That's the good thing as well. They're good skins, like whatever about lads that you train with. You want to have a few good skins you can have a laugh with, and a bit of banter, and like all those guys are top lads, so it's a bit of crack.
Yeah, for sure. Look, man, just before we finish, we've just got some quick fire questions for you.
Oh yeah, far ahead.
I'm gonna put you on a spot too much.
Oh, you're grand, man.
But look, best place you ever trained?
Oh, Dublin.
Favorite workout?
8x K.
Okay, hardest workout.
Oh, I did, coming off COVID, I did a mile 4.6s and mile 4.6s. And it's like a mile lap jog in 2 minutes. Miles like 4.35, 4.40. Did a lap jog, 4.600s going through in 60, running 90 off 2 minute recovery, lap jog, a mile and 4.35. Same thing again, going through. That was hard. That was rough. At the time, that was rough for me. I think my best workout, like, it's different over here, because I remember I did 4x mile, average like 4.14 off 5 minute recovery, but it's a lot of recovery, you know, but you're still stinging the whole way around.
Still, is that the famous Andy Powell cut down though?
I don't even know what the famous Andy Powell cut down. I'd say it's like, I remember I did a session just before NCAA indoors where I did like a K in like 2.40, ran a few eights in off like 90 and like 2.14 out of 2.10, and then ran a K in 2.22 at the end. You know, that's probably more of like a cut there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So but I think at the time I was coming off COVID, and I did that session, the mile 4.6s, and that was rough. I thought it was a good session, so I was happy with that.
Yeah, would you say that's like a 5K workout?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'd say it's more like 3K ish, you know, 3K, 5K.
It's a hard workout for a 3K, but.
It is, yeah, it's not too bad. Like it's good. Like there, like on, what was it, on Tuesday, we did a double session. We did 8x K off 90, and I think we started at 2:53, got down to 2:41 by the end, and so we're moving, and then came back in the evening and did two sets of 4:32, going like 54, 39, 26 or 25 or something. Wow. That's like you're working both ends of the spectrum there. Like you're working your aerobic capacity and then you're working speed.
Yeah, so
cool. Mate, we are terrible at quick fire questions.
Yeah,
for every single
time. Sorry, man. Yeah, I should be rattling them off better.
Mate, that's interesting though, because double session seems to be kind of like almost in fashion right now. You know,
yeah, it is. We do a lot of double sessions on a Tuesday now. We kind of like we do double sessions where we kind of do like an aerobic workout in the morning, come back with a bit of speed work in the evening, and then we do a hard track workout on Friday. But still, like you're getting two good days of sessioning in.
What do you reckon the reasoning behind it is? Is it because you purely are only two, you know, you're training Tuesday, Friday, as opposed to three times a week?
Yeah, I'd say so as well. I think it's I believe, and I'd say an awful lot of coaches believe, it's like you got to take your hard days hard and your easy days easy, you know? So you got to recover on your easy days and take your hard days fairly hard, you know? So if you can get two workouts done, I think the Ingebrigtsens probably popularized it as well. They always did like, you know, two sessions a day. So I think like, and also it's like, you can work different systems. You can work like the aerobic system, come back, work your speed in the evening and then chill out for a couple of days and then hit another hard workout rather than like hitting a hard workout Tuesday, come back, threshold and working aerobic on Thursday and then come back on Saturday and your legs are a bit shot the whole time. Mm-hmm. Having said that though, I think there's a benefit to training, like you're a distance runner, you're going to be tired. So there's a benefit to training tired, you know?
But do you think because it's the two different systems, it's not actually as bad as it sounds or?
Oh yeah, I don't think it's too bad. Once you start, I think working speed is, I love doing that. I could do that all day. Not all day, but like you go and you do like a hard workout and you know that 5K pain where it's just that slow, dull pain the whole way. That's kind of like what you do. And then the moment you spike up and then you switch on to like sharper stuff, you just feel different. It's like, I don't know. I think I'd agree with you. I don't think it's, you don't feel as tired or you don't feel like you're as worn or anything like that. It's kind of like just two different systems, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of like the take home for 2022 is see people are double sessioning and it could be why everyone seems to be getting much quicker as well.
But we've been doing it a good bit now the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, we have. Yeah, it's just not too bad.
But anyway, back to football or Gaelic football.
Oh man, that's a hard one. I'm a big football like soccer fan, man. Big West Ham fan.
Don't know about you actually.
Oh man.
But he's a good one. Who
are you? Arsenal?
Arsenal, mate. We had a good game today.
I know, I watched it. It was shocking. We switched off in the league, you know? We're making Champions League.
Also, you know, he was telling me, like, I've got a few Arsenal mates and they were saying, oh, you've got a really strong lineup today. I was like, no, we don't. Like, Dawson's on a red. He's not playing.
Yeah. Antonio was on the bench.
You've got no strong lineups. You've got right.
I don't think the lineup was that strong. Like, Antonio was on the bench.
Yeah.
Who else was on the bench? Sukic was on the bench. Noble was playing. I think, though, he's, like, finishing up, so you're like, I got to give him a few appearances.
He's soaking up every minute of play.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
he's awful.
Yeah. No, yeah.
People. Okay, but, so we'll take that. We'll take that football, mate. We got a big game next Thursday, so.
I know. I've watched both the games. I watched the game this morning and watched the game on Thursday. It was bleak. It's kind of upsetting, you know.
Actually, really nice. When I was in Blackstar, it was really nice watching football over there because it's like you wake up, you're just eating breakfast.
Yeah.
Football.
Like, it's cool. It's just difficult. It's not the same. Like you can't roll down to the pub with your mates and watch the football. Yeah. Like that. It could be half seven and you're like weary eyed looking at the game. You're like, oh Jesus.
I feel like it can be a good start to the day, like when you're training and stuff. Like it's a good.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's just like the 3 o'clock kickoffs are hard to get. The late kickoffs, like obviously the Arsenal game is a late kickoff, so I got the second half of that. And then the Europa League games are all afternoon games, so you can kind of get those as well. So it's not too bad.
Have you ever been? Have you ever got over?
Last time I was there, I saw West Ham versus Sunderland, maybe. It was like our last season at the Bowling Green. Antonio was playing right back that day, which was funny.
I remember he used to play right back. I still don't think he's an out-and-out striker, man. Like,
no, I don't think so. I think we need to get a new striker. I think Antonio, like, he's quality, you know. And I was having this conversation with an Arsenal fan, like my all-time West Ham top 11 in my time supporting them. You know, he'd be up there, but I put Carlos Tevez ahead of him. You know,
watching Antonio dribble was just horrible.
Oh man, I was watching him there today. He's a lump, man. He just kind of just
goes as a bit tired.
He does. He looks gassed all the time. So funny.
Right, back to the question.
Double session days.
Yeah, he needs some double session days.
Yeah, he does, man. There you go.
Yeah.
Best spikes out there at the moment.
Best spikes. Oh, the ones I'm wearing, Ambitions, man. I think they're like I don't know what they're called. I just know them as Ambitions, the Adidas Ambitions. Yeah. They are so good, man. I think they're better than the Dragonfly. I think the Dragonfly, like I've raced in Dragonflies all last year. Great for like maybe fives and tens, but like the Ambitions are so good for like 15 fives. If you want to close fast, like they're just great. They're aggressive, but they're good. A good spike, you know, great spike.
Will you end up with a 10 or would you go Avanis for the 10?
Yeah, TYLs for the 10. Yeah, I would if I could, but I don't think my cast would hold up. I think I'd hurt myself if I did. But I'd love the ambitions, to be honest with you. But yeah, no, TYLs for the 10. Yeah.
What haircut is next in the rotation, mate?
Oh, good question. What do you think? You got a fade there the other day. It's not too bad.
Oh, man. I didn't know they did them in America, man.
They don't. They don't. I paid about €50 for it as well.
Private barbers. Flowing.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It's so hard to get a fade here. And like everyone at home, every barber gets a fade. And like, you know, the lads in my gaff were just cutting my hair for a while. And like, it was grand. And then I dyed my hair. But my God, did it look yellow. It looked shockingly bad. And then you're just putting in the purple shampoo, trying to get it going. You know, which is grand. I might go back to the mullet and tash. I really like that look. You know, that was did the job. You know, but I'll rock the blonde look for the time being, and then we'll see how that goes. What do you think? What do you think I should go for?
Hey, we think the mullet. The mullet was good, man.
Yeah, it was.
Blonde mullet. You just
maybe I look like Tiger King, man. You know, look. Yeah, right.
All right, last one. What's more important, NCAAs or World Champs qualifying? If you were to win NCAAs or get a World Champs qualifying time.
Probably win NCAAs. Like, I think when you're in the system, you got to be focused on the system, you know? And like, here, like, I think as a European, you're more focused on world champs the whole time or Europeans the whole time. Like, that's kind of like what you're thinking is the big goal. It's over here, they kind of see it's the NCAAs, the big goal. But I think just like in terms of like what it would do for me in my life, in terms of like going pro and stuff, I think I'd be better off winning NCAAs than world champs. And also, like, you know, while I'm here, I'm going to be committed to racing and being all in about the NCAAs. So, yeah, NCAAs.
I think you're right, mate. You and Hickson are head-to-head?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. He's good. He's good. He's good running, to be fair to him. So.
There he is. Yeah, yeah. You both got that British connection or kind of like British-Irish connection.
British-Irish, you know. Not British, man. I was like, oh, man, that's such a go calling me British, you know.
You know. The location, the location in
the general area.
Yeah, mate. To be fair, on that, do you have any like rivalries in the US system that are like, I don't know, more than not like proper rivalries?
I honestly, I think every lad that you race, I respect them. Like, everyone goes to run hard and put their neck out the line when you race them. So you got to respect everyone. You know, I'm not going to build up some. I think Americans are probably a little bit more like the Rocky Balboa, let's have a rivalry type of jazz. But it's not really my buzz, you know. I'll just race lads and get stuck in, you know. And look, when you're on the start line, you're out to get everyone, you know, you're out to scalp everyone, you know, as you hope everyone's out to scalp you, you know, that's just the nature of it. And you'll be mates after the race. But certainly not in the race, you're not going to be mates. But I don't have any rivalries or anything like that.
Any university to university rivalries? Like, does Andy Powell say, right, let's make sure we beat these Oregon boys today?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'd say they don't like Oregon. But like, it's all new to me. I don't really care anything like that. I haven't really raced much Oregon lads either. So, but I'm sure they're all nice lads and stuff. But I don't know. I think Washington, and Washington State, obviously there's a rivalry there. And Washington, Oregon, there's a bit of a rivalry there. I think that's like, though, that's like American schools culture type of vibe. It's not really like characteristic of like our program or anything like that.
Okay.
You know, it's just the nature of the two schools.
Yeah. Well, look, mate, it's been great to chat to you.
Today. Cheers for having me on. Great chats.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Best of luck for the rest of the NCAA season and then beyond that as well.
Yeah, mate.